haven't changed for a week. It's today, tomorrow, and Thursday is the oversight on the undersea cable with Telkom. That is still proceeding again on Thursday. I thought we just identified. But we'll inform you of the logistics and all the details by tomorrow before we end the session. Let me again welcome colleagues who are ordinarily not with us every time in the meeting, role players in the sector for this important engagement and discussion, and just highlight what we have noticed in the public discourse that this matter has generated in a lot of interest in various forms. And I think it's important for me, honorable members, before we start, just to highlight some of the issues or even where we come from, and to note that we started, if all of us, majority of us were not here in the fourth parliament, I think out of this committee was Honorable Shin. When my predecessor, Honorable Eric Kolwane, as the chair, led the committee in terms of the public hearings, engagement with the sector, the department, and all role players around the issue of cost to communicate. And I think colleagues will remember the much discussion and the outcome around the mobile termination rates and the process as well in terms of engagement. Now, for us, it's not to say we are restarting the process, but it's to pick up from where the colleagues have left off. There are quite a number of issues that would be interested in looking at today. I know in the public space, the much talked about issue is around that. But for us, it's all the issues that we need to look at. The issues around voice calls, the issues around SMSs, the issues around local roaming. We issued an advert, one national newspaper and various community newspapers in all the official languages, especially the indigenous. We did issue all the with Africans as well. So we covered all the languages in terms of official languages, just to make sure that anyone who speaks a particular language has an opportunity to get that aspect and comment on it. What has been interesting is that I received information, unfortunately they were not able to join with us, the Southern Parliamentary Forum, which raised a concern about roaming in SADC. I'm flagging these issues, colleagues, because we need to look holistically at all the issues and the impact. Now, if you are to talk about SADC, you're talking about all the countries and parliaments in the region are saying we as South Africa are the culprits of high costs in terms of roaming. Whether that is true or not is another matter that we need to look at. But they were raising the concern around that there should be a way, because most of the calls or many people who are in SADC, either the call originates in South Africa or the call is made to South Africa. Because majority of the people who are in the region are in South Africa, or they have some in South Africa that of their families and all that, and they're saying the roaming costs are high. Now, if we are able to deal with all these matters now, it's going to be very important. But some of the issues that we'd have to, in future, look at. And this is one of the areas that we might have to look in future. But there's still concerns around local roaming, and we'd have to hear how all the road players are dealing with it as well. So that's what I'm saying, we're dealing with the overall issues around cost to communicate and its impact. Just to highlight, if you look at our program, colleagues and honorable members, is that we've tried to balance based on what we have received in terms of the inputs. And members, we have received all the documentation, and I'll just highlight, I think there are two documents. but we do not have in your hands. They have been emailed. Our committee assistant is making copies so that we can have those ones as well. We'll hear something from the department in terms of our program on their own. We know that the policy remains as the department remains the custodian of policy. And then we'll move to ICASA. We have CSIR presentation representing the research industry. We'll come to ISPA, Internet Service Providers Association. We'll move to an input by SRC President of UWC, speaking on behalf of students on the impact. We'll have a representative, one person that is going to speak on SMMEs, that is Mr. Thabo Molefe, commonly known, popularly known as Timothy. That will be our program for today. Those are the inputs that we are receiving. And then we'll move on to tomorrow, where we continue with our engagements. And with our engagements again tomorrow, what I need to highlight is that we have the NGO sector as well, because we think that is most important. We had hoped that we'd have, and I'm hoping that within the NGO or somebody speaking on behalf of women, the impact on this on women, but unfortunately we couldn't get a woman organization to come and present based on the submissions we received. We'd have the NGO that we have selected in terms of the input is Alliance for Affordable Internet and as well Right to Know, who would also be, and then we'll move into the inputs from mobile network operators, and then we'll end our sessions tomorrow. Now, from that process, then we'll compile a report, and that report will be sent to the House. I thought, let me just highlight this process, members and colleagues, so that everybody is aware of what we intend to do and how we are looking at the process. You know that Parliament, in terms of public hearings, the hearings, we are almost like operating on behalf of the National Assembly, and therefore we have to report to the National Assembly in terms of our recommendation for them to be adopted and possibly sought for implementation out of what we have adopted as a recommendation. So I thought this is important for me to give as a background and as a process so that everybody understands what we're hoping to, what we intend to do in this process. I don't intend to take much time, but firstly, or let me just come to the point where I give apologies, especially for members. Honorable Kilian, who is still booked off after a major op, she's still not yet back at work. The Minister of Telecommunications and the Deputy Minister, not been able to be here. I did receive an apology from ICASA 18 Chairperson and ICASA CEO. We've got the COO here. Both acting chair and CEO are sitting in council meeting. Understand it's their last council meeting for the year. We are going to move on. Just to alert members, while we're talking about cost to communicate, in order for us to be able to be connected, we have access to the Wi-Fi of Parliament. Those who want to connect, you simply go into I've got the password here. When you find Parliament, it's Party Wi-Fi. And then the password is hearing at 2016. HEARING@2016. That's the password for the Wi-Fi in case you want to connect. allow the department to start. I don't know if members have anything that you want to raise before we proceed in terms of the process. But without any waste of time, I'm going to allow the acting DG, Mr. Mdjwakhe, to lead the delegation that is from the department of telecommunications to proceed with the engagements to the DG. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, my colleagues from the council, I've got a delegation which I'm leading, which consists of most truly members of the Deputy of Government and Administration, Mr. Winnie Bugela, who's the Acting Deputy Director General, ICT Policy Development. Ms. Mamitsi Masemo, who is the Chief Director of Economic Analysis. Ms. Adelaide Masemola, who is the Director of Economic Analysis.
My apologies, Prof. Gilman, I see your hand is up.
I'm sorry, Chair, I was trying to get your attention when you were making the process points. I just wanted to draw the attention and ask you to draw the attention of a number of submissions that have been made, that there isn't time to have included in presentation. Many of them contain substantive public interest research and independent research from a number of different organisations, and we would just like to ensure that those are available to the public. I'm wondering if they're going to be posted on the website or how they will be included in the debate over the next 2 days.
No, thanks, Prof. We'll definitely make sure that we cover that. I'll come to it later. Thank you. Sorry about that, what?
Thank you very much. I was thinking we also have Mr. Ife Madom, who's the Director of Impact Assessments, and then we've got Bugani Tembo, who's also the Parliamentary Officer. Let me thank you again as this committee for shining a light on some aspects of the ICT environment, which we believe deserve to be discussed much more. Government, of course, is committed to increasing access to the ICTs, and in particular broadband, in the light of the central role of broadband factor shared importance and necessary duplication, which is costly and inefficient to scarce resources, including structure. Competition is for all practical purposes not fair. Sadly, there is no discernible regulatory interventions in place or plans in the near future to deal effectively with a duopoly that has laid a stranglehold on the market. Competition, in particular in the mobile market, does no longer serve as the focus for regulation, as the dominant
16:37 did clash at the end. Honourable Chairperson, members, the context, we have to drop back to the government vision as indicated in the NDP 2030 and the government medium-term framework that in fact high domestic costs of broadband internet connection as a major interest to socioeconomic development in the country. As this hearing today, and as covered well by the DG in his earlier remarks, we are aware that over the past few years, the government policy rules are intervention to reduce cost communication, predominantly in the shape of voice services. But we have to bring in the issue of data. South African ranking has improved from 75 to 65 out of 189 countries, according to the World Economic Forum Network Readiness Index, 2015-2016. These measures, however, well, and economies used as it is most conducive and well-being of the country. Improvements in technological readiness have helped South Africa to reverse the 4-year decline and be on the top 50 in the WEF Global Competitiveness Report 2015-2016 that was stated by South Africa. Gradually still moving upwards scale. The vision of broadband is that by 2020, 100% of ASA citizens will access broadband services at 2.5% or less of population's average monthly income. All states will have access to affordable broadband. I think this is the cornerstone of government policy innovation today, that South Africa citizens as a whole will be able to access broadband to do business. I think it will affect SMB and students and everybody else. We may be faster ready to deal with that kind of interventions. The broadband policy, which is SA Connect, has identified the high price charged for communication services as one of the primary factors hampering our competitiveness globally. It further emphasized that access to broadband must be affordable for it to contribute to economic growth. The challenge that the high tariff of broadband services have kept the penetration level of it and very low today in the country because of costs associated with it. The majority of our citizens use mobile broadband as their primary method of connectivity to the internet. Major shift from the voice of data usage driven by over the top services and in the increased smartphone and tablet penetrations. Members will recall that during the hearing on OTT, this issue was quite demonstrated that it also does have a big hindrance in the process. There are interventions the department that we are trying to put in place to address the issue of high cost communicates in the country today. It's an only issue, this is an issue that affects us all as a nation. There are roles that ministers exercising as an executive and as policy maker, and there are roles that CASA, as a regulator of the sector, is intervening in that regard, trying to bring the two together from the policy and local space. On the issue of price transparency, members, minister issued and consulted in CASA on the board directive on price transparency. The directive addresses the issues of information, disclosures on services, tariffs, costs, and service quality information for the electronic communication services. It was the intervention to address this of communications. And therefore, ICASA demonstrated their capacity to publish a policy report on prepaid retail voices and data tariffs in December 2015. And therefore, ICASA does did an end user and subscriber service charter regulations in April 2016 as an intervention to address what the ministers put forward in policy indications. The regulation addresses, amongst others, bill shock. And therefore, transparency data billing prepaid population roaming bill in line with the price transparency. some bigger course of actions. Furthermore, the minister issued a post direction to ICASA on 4th March 2016 on effective competition in broadband markets and the reduction of data costs. The minister at the ICASA has also commenced an inquiry defining relevant markets and market segments in the value chain and imposes pro-competitive measures on licensing with significant market power and prescribe regulations where there is ineffective competition. ICASA therefore responded by saying it will undertake a review process to determine profit markets for the review in that effect. And therefore, ICASA's regulator undertaking process in both directions in deciding on priority markets. That's an opportunity that ICASA is trying to do, which is progressive of our government. When the DG gave remarks, he covered at length and precisely so on the issue of the policy-wide processes, where the policy-wide paper is today in front of cabinet. And therefore, we felt that it's very, very important as department to come and demonstrate some of the principles that the policy pronounced in that regard, which are part of the intervention process. There is an issue of rapid development policy, and the policy provides a simplified, streamlined, and coordinated framework, which is supported by strategies and measures to accelerate the infrastructure deployment process. As the DG indicated, infrastructure is the cornerstone of this solid issue of cost to communicate. Therefore, this principle of rapid deployment policy is the intervention that will address that kind of challenge to streamline and ensure that as a quick win, we're able to move with speed. And then the digital development funds, which provide support for both infrastructure and demand stimulation projects and programs. Where today we can talk about the issue of USAF in the current form, but going forward, this is what the policy is anticipating. Then we'll address the issue of open access policy. The duplication infrastructure leads to expensive infrastructure deployment in the country. And these costs are passed on to consumers. I think this affects, we know that consumers pay the cost. And this policy is envisaged to address costs to communicate, by, amongst others, promoting shared and equal access to broadband infrastructure. Talk about the backbone, the metro, the last mile, both fiber and wireless. Last mile. And the last principle, the element of G-rate for approved public institutions. The current envisaged white paper talks about the E-rate be converted to a G-rate, which is government rate, which all approved public institutions fulfilling public needs will have access to through the digital fund to address the issue of education and other services of learner and student material in that regard. Then, Honorable Chairperson members, we are quickly demonstrating the mobile cluster of plans, which I think is very important as part of this session. We have just scanned through our MNOs, Vodacom, MTN, Cell C, and Telecom. And therefore, on your left, you find the pay minute. And then you can see that it's the 1 minute Vodacom charges 120. MTN charges 79 cents. Cell C charges 66 cents. And Telecom charges 75 cents. And then it goes, look at the 2 minutes, Vodacom 240, MTN 158, expected that we're not sure whether this grant will ever, even, I doubt if that can happen. I've been looking at the above graph that I've demonstrated, honorable members. Vodacom is the most expensive on the per minute tariff plan at 120 compared to MTN F79, Telecom 75, MCC66. And therefore, looking at the length of a call at 2 minutes, Celsius charges the lowest rate at 132 compared to Vodacom, which charges 140, and MTN charges 158. And then at the length of a call at 5 minutes, all the services provided charges more or less the same tariff except Vodacom. The tariff rate of Cell C and Telecom companies are relatively cheaper on these tariff plans, therefore stimulating competition. This is what the assumption of that tariff demonstrates. Chairperson, our members, for the post-paid data bundle, 520 gigabytes, you see, looking at those colors I'm doing, right, with your Vodacom 500, you can see all operators, think even. And go to 1 gig, you know, we can comfortably say there is comfort in terms of how they charge. And the 2 gig, 3 gig, on the 5 gig, and therefore Vodacom begin to shoot. The 20 gig, you see Vodacom and Telecom. Vodacom be the highest of them all. The increased uptake of smartphone require cell phones just to seek data-centric contracts. Data has become the central requirements for more cell phone users today. I think this we know very well, as was seen here today. And comparable data tariff between 16 amounts of data reveals striking difference. Telecom charges 39 rand for 500 megabyte, compared to Vodacom 45. MTN charges the highest tariff for 1, which is 79 rand, compared to Telecom's 59. And Vodacom charges 169 for 2, compared to 99 rand, which is being charged by MTN, Cell C, and Telecom. It is observed, members, that operators with significant market power charges higher rates. Vodacom charges 1,000 for 20, unlike Cell C and MTN, which charges 499. It's double the price. Therefore, there is a vision that ineffective competition exists in broadband markets, which necessitates regulation to ensure the reduction of data tariffs. I think this is an area that Honorable Chairperson in a statement we talk about the issue of data. So we felt that in the presentation we're able to show some of these developments happening out in the market. There is a slide that we indicated on the rollout of Wi-Fi projects, members. With the department, I think we know very well that we have done collaboration with metros to connect with Wi-Fi sites nationally. That will provide free Wi-Fi service to targeted areas as part of the broadband connectivity generation, of course, to communicate. This project focuses on expanding and expediting the plans for the provision of municipal-wide Wi-Fi network in the 6 metro political municipalities. So far, a total of 146 sites have been connected and currently carrying live traffic. City of Tshwane and Nelson Mandela Bay, all proposed sites have been connected. Wi-Fi will roll out in Mangaung, where 32 sites will be connected, as well as City of Johannesburg, 37 remaining sites will be connected, and City of Cape Town, 7 remaining sites will be connected. As part of the intervention of government to roll out this Wi-Fi program for access by learners, students, small businesses, and employers outside there. There is an issue, one of the chairperson of data depletion. therefore consumers have also been complaining about disappearing of the data, which I think all of us are affected to. Given the high cost of data in South Africa, many consumers, especially prepaid consumers, adopted a frugal approach in the manner in which they manage their data. The National Consumer Commission has included disappearing data into their broader investment into network operators. This will assist consumers determine precisely where the data disappeared to. ICASA is working close with the NCC in this regard. I think ICASA can report this. We are aware that NCC, in the process of amending the legislation, to put some provisions, other provisions, to address this issue as a consumer matter. As I said, Honorable Chairperson, that we felt that there are still communities who still use postal methods as a means of communication. And it's very, very important to come and demonstrate to you what is happening out there. And going forward, I'm going to also put more measures in this area, but given the relative to cars and to put some limiting processes. We talk about the issue of terms plans owned in the law, which is your basic other services. The incumbent post office charges 360. And they find the so-called private operators who are operating within the reserve market assigned by law for post office charges 510%. And then the bill letter is medium, the post office charges 750, and their private operators charges 1450, which is double the price. And therefore, we look at the lines before the post office charges 875. Again, the private operators double the price, charges 18.50. And on the postcards, the small, medium, large, post office charges 360, 750, 875. And the private operators charges 820. The purpose of this slide, Honorable Chairperson members, is to demonstrate out there, to indicate that the post office has the network, has the infrastructure. And therefore, it is a fact that all private operators, they use post office to access their services. But charging clients, down the post office is charging our communities. On the issue of first mail, on the small D letter, the post of charges 25 francs, private operator got the price has 48 francs. And the medium post of charges 28 francs, private 52 francs, and the large letter, which is the first mail, post of charges 30 francs, and the private operator has 61 francs. Therefore, you can see members, when we talk about the difficulty of communities out there to communicate through letter services and other services within the postal industry, and take into account that the postal tariffs are regulated by ICASA as a regulator. And it's ICASA who hold public hearings and determine pricing. But the private operators are also operating within that area of work. By passing the regulation of ICASA, able to charge the double of what post office is charging. There are some programs that government is thinking, as the DG have indicated, chairperson members, going forward, precisely on this issue, that 2027 financial year, there must be a thorough research on the issue of over the top and rural services, which must demonstrate the impact and the influence of this within the scheme of cost to communicate. And then we need to provide non-tariff voice of voice and data tariffs. The envisaged white paper policy demonstrates some few critical principles. There's a roadmap on the state support, provision of G-rate, digital refund, rapid deployment, open access, and the reform of postal services sector. as soon as the policy gets approved, all this will be factored within the legislative framework. As a department, will come back to you, members, with all the meat now, the attributes, what forms is in the form of legislation that either will amend or introduce new laws if be necessary, or to amend the current legislations, but with a view of can intervene on the issue of course to communicate. I thank you, members, colleagues, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Attorney for the presentation and sharing with us in terms of in terms of the position of the department on the matter of course to communicate. I'm going to open for hands for questions, comments. So that we can be able to engage with the presentation that has been given before us. As I said, the program is very clear. After each presentation, we'll have an opportunity to engage the presenters with the questions and comments in terms of the presentation so that we can be very clear. Earlier on, Prof. Gibbard raised the issue. We did receive many presentations. I just checked with the secretary. I noted that the presentations or documents that are circulated today are those that meant for today's input. We'll definitely make sure that all the documents are available. I'm not sure if we'll be able to do it today, but latest is tomorrow. All the submissions that have been available, to make sure that hard copies are available here. Indeed, we'll definitely receive quite a number of inputs. That's what we make sure that members receive them so that they can have the background information, even those who are not able to present, because we've got 2 days, you are not able to have everybody. But before the end of today, I'll definitely highlight, or even just after lunch, we'll see how we can do it with the team, if we are able to get all those copies today, and then we'll highlight which presentations or which submissions we received, so that colleagues can know when they take copies, they know how many documents they should have. I'll note members first. Honorable Sheen, I noted your hand. Honorable Kingsman, second. Honorable Zotesi. Honorable Maseko. And Honorable Ketabak. Those are the few hands. I'll first look.
Thank you, Chief. I'm wanting to know about the what regulatory issues or that may have in the white paper regarding the pricing of the fixed line infrastructure, because you don't mention that at all. We talk about the mobile operators, but obviously fixed line is part of the cost. That's where the backhaul comes from, and so that obviously has to be factored in. Also, what interventions are in line with local loop unbundling. That has been an issue for 10 years. And not everybody's going to have fibre to the home. And so obviously we need, Telkom is the main user or supplier of the local loop, the last mile. What are we doing about that? Because that should have been sorted out a long, long time ago. We talk about the G rates. I'm wondering if that is going to apply to all government emails, or is it only going to apply to those where citizens interact with the government? Because I would think that the government's internet bill is significant, and whether all of it needs to be G-rated or just the public interaction side of it. Then there's obviously, ICASA has got an awful lot of work to do regarding reports and research and regulatory requirements of that. Is there going to be proper resourcing of ICASA to fulfill its mandate that keeps getting pushed onto it, and the structural reform that is necessary to make ICASA more efficient? Then on the zero rating of services, there are obviously concerns about this, that this would limit users' experience to what their service providers choose for them to see. And I think that needs to be gone into very carefully, because users who are subject to zero rating services will have a limited view of what
2020, all South Africans will have access to broadband. Where are we now, and how realistic do you think that will be by 2020, January 2020, December 2020? How realistic is that target or that vision? My sense of government as a driver of ICT and rapid deployment is not one that's full of confidence. And I'll tell you why. Use the terms quick win and move with speed and then win. Now, if you consider the ICT white paper that's been sitting in the cabinet for months and months and months, and we still haven't had sight of this, and we haven't got any indication of when this white paper will be released. Is that what you consider to be moving with speed? Just speaking from personal experience and from what I read, it seems to be the private sector, much maligned private sector, that seems to be moving with speed, that seems to be rolling out infrastructure, that seems to be developing the ICT and the technology in our country. And I refer to the announcement yesterday or the day before about a new 4.5 network by a venture capital company that's revolutionized the role of broadband in our country. These companies seem to be moving along despite and in spite of government and the ICT white paper. So your approach seems to be that there's ineffective competition and that it should be regulated rather than encouraging the private sector to continue with what they are doing. Let's get the private sector out of the equation in our country. Where would we be, honestly, in terms of technology rollout, in terms of telecommunications, and in terms of ICT? And I would suggest that we would be seriously backward. Then, lastly, just a question for you. If you see that Postnet charges double what the SAPO does, why do you think Postnet is and continues to be profitable and the SAPO is not? Why are consumers choosing to use Postnet at double the price when SAPO has all the infrastructure, all the points of presence, all the retail centers everywhere across the country? Why then are people electing to pay double the amount of money?
And also thanks for the presentation. I think some of our questions have been asked. But when looking at the slide 5, where it says all citizens should have access to affordable broadband, what is affordable? Because what's affordable to one person may not. country supposed to be leading other, especially in the continent? But you go to other countries, go to Ghana, go to Kenya, go to Tanzania, cost of communication is very, very low, including data. Has the study been done to benchmark with other countries, especially the continent and globally? And on slide 8, the issue of the intervention by the department on high costs to communicate. With the implementation by ICASA, it says the regulator has undertaken to consider the policy direction in deciding on priority markets. So I am not sure if this has been finalized or still being considered. So if you can get clarity on that. And I concur with Honorable Tetsi on the issue of Vodacom and what is Competition Board doing or saying about the imbalances of the scale of the charges of cost to communicate. On the rollout of Wi-Fi projects, just want to find out on slide 15, third bullet. Well, initially, the department has collaborated with the mentors to connect from the building. So far, 146 sites have been connected. I just want to find out when will the outstanding 74 Wi-Fi sites be completed so that then it benefits those who are supposed to be benefiting. And lastly, Chairperson, is on the slide 19, and of course, the program of action on the for the 2016-17 financial year, the department in its program of action is undertaking that they will have research on the OTT and zero rated services. I'm not sure if they are, because I think it would be important for the department to work with established research organizations and research houses like the CSIR, instead of finding new researchers who do not have an idea, who start from the beginning, and that will increase the costs to pay the researchers. And I think in working with the Department of Science and Technology and Innovation, CSIR, it will be much cost effective to the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know, slide 14, the Vodacom charges for 2 gigabytes. Last time I checked, it was 249, not 169. I just want to check what happens now. Secondly, we go to the post office and postnets. I think Honorable McKenzie has covered me. Why do you think we are using? Why we are using most postnet instead of post office? What is the problem? Because many people are using postnet. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members.
Just a second bite of the chair, if you don't mind, very quickly. Just in terms of the analysis of costs, I see Vodacom is, I'm not a Vodacom customer. I see Vodacom is being portrayed as the most expensive of all. But in this analysis on which we're drawing that conclusion, we haven't covered things like contract bundles, we haven't covered the devices that are selected or the deals that are available on that, we haven't covered the demand in urban or rural areas, and then there's briefly mention made of OTT services, so the number of calls that would be made using something like WhatsApp, which is increasingly popular, and how that would actually bring down the cost to communicate. Because I would suggest that perhaps private operators are charging more for voice calls because the revenue that they're getting from those calls is in fact declining. But I'll certainly leave it to them to answer. But I think the whole conclusion that we're drawing here is based on very, very superficial analysis.
Thank you very much for this, for the comments, questions, and discussion. To the department. I think
in terms of this instruction, because I think it goes to the heartbeat of some of the discussion we've got here. Major for me as well is to say, I look at the tariffs as well that have been published, I see, because I was interested in the source. I see the source is CASA. We'll look at the presentation, unfortunately before the operators tomorrow. So that they can explain for themselves when something is there. But I think for me, just to verify from the activity in terms of the information I've got, there's one that you say my broadband, I'm not so sure which one is my broadband, is it the online news article, which one is that? Just want to be sure about the sources that you've used for this, so that we can know in terms of the information you've provided for us. Now, the other issue that I want to check from the department is, has there been, besides the instruction to CASA in terms of the study, has there been an engagement between the department and the sector around the issues of cost communicate or around the operations of the and the impact to society? That's the first one. Secondly, in terms of, because the department is the one that represents us in the as the country in the ITU, based on where we stand versus global trends. I see the department has just limited themselves to the players in the country. Now, based on your participation in the ITU, where are we standing? And the level in terms of our participation or our competitiveness globally against our peers? Have we looked at that? What is the status there? Where are we still sitting as a country in terms of our costs? That for me is very important, so that we have a sense and do not compare within the country only, but we compare within the borders, outside our borders, and compare ourselves where we sit internationally in terms of access. And then the last one, are there any, and to put it correctly, are there any measures that you think, or either I'm noting the activity that the research is still pending, but from either the engagement, if we've had engagement around this measures at the department as we engage, obviously we should be having interest, especially because of your project of broadband rollout. Now, have we been able to look at what are the other impending mechanisms or impending issues or issues that could be hampering in terms of this matter, in terms of having costs that are affordable within the country? So that I mean, there are certain things that when you look at, I like what I saw in terms of when you reflected the issue of issues of data, the expiry of data, that if you use it or lose it issue. You didn't speak to that one on your presentation. So what are the issues and what is coming up? So I'm trying to sense whether there'll be even further engagement between the sector and the department, or the department and the ICASA around those issues. And what are we finding out of those discussions that will help me? I think as well we'll definitely expect certain level of information as well from the customer. Thanks. Let me hand over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I would be asking the team also to chip in and address some of the questions that are just posed to us. But my first response would relate to the question of policy and the policy impact on the issues which are under discussion. The first one is that are there regulatory issues think indeed the fixed line infrastructure is quite pivotal in terms of determining the access, the extent of the spread of the infrastructure, the cost, and others. So it is quite fundamental that we have to deal with the fixed part also in order for us to generally reduce the cost of communication. The white paper in the open access policy that addresses all segments of the fixed line infrastructure, that is the backbone, the metro, the last mile, and it then actually then goes on to say the last mile will be both fiber-based and wireless last mile. All of these actually then will be open up actually for open access principles. Now, I think fundamentally then, I think what we're saying is that we're moving away from an understanding that it's only the local loop which needs actually to be opened up. And what we're saying is that all the elements of the fixed line actually has to be opened up, has to be shared that infrastructure. With others actually who cannot deploy the infrastructure. We're mindful of the fact that it would cost so much money where someone else now to start actually running out that infrastructure to the extent that it has already been brought out, or to the extent that it then actually becomes universally available throughout the country. There are massive infrastructure gaps which are still prevalent, which need to be closed. And the best way of closing those infrastructure gaps is through this open access policy where infrastructure is shared. It is a network, the center of the economy. Then the network effects have actually to be felt. And part of the network effects is the sharing of the infrastructure in order to drive down the cost. Now then the next question was then around the question of the open loop unbundling. And I think I've indicated that the unbundling is much bigger than just the question of the open loop. And I think we're looking at all the elements of the value chain in order for us to then ensure that infrastructure is shared everywhere else. But I'm aware that Telkom has actually opened many of these loops. I think 200 of them actually opened just so that for others to access those local loops. And the question of G-rate, whether of government emails, and I think it is public services which you are actually targeting for this one, where the public depends on government, and then actually trying to access services using government portals. And indeed, that's the part actually we'd like to see, and the services that you're checking over, and then by government. Now, the whole question of ICANN, I think there is a lot of discussion around the question of what type of a regulatory environment needs to be created in order for us actually to come to a situation where we've got effective regulation. And I think in the white paper, I think leading to the white paper, the discussion of how to structure ICASA, I think, was there. And I think if we've gone through the discussion document, there were a number of considerations to actually have them to have a forecast ICASA. One of them actually related to the question of whether ICASA is its own internal organization, actually would have dedicated people, not just looking at the telecoms and others looking at the internet area, others looking at the issue of broadcasting, others looking at postal services. This was born out of the experience that, in particular, the postal sector has not actually been effectively regulated, because there were other things which were much more glamorous, and which were much more pressing, and it has actually then tended to look at those and actually then rise. Then the problems which are coming up in terms of effective regulation and the enforcement of regulation with respect to the postal sector. So then the proposal was that actually to consider that actually the structure in the cast. There's another proposal. The other proposal actually related to the question of, in fact, creating an economic regulator, which is focused on competition, which is focused on regulating and enforcing competition conditions with respect to the sector. Then that would also then go hand in hand with the creation of another regulator which is focused on content and content back and rationalizing all the existing regulators and which are there around the issues of content. Now, those are the discussions which I'm trying to cabinet. Cabinet has applied its mind with respect to it and come up then actually as to this option, which is the best option for the country going forward. The most important aspect then also with respect to giving the regulator enough resources for it to do the work which it has to do is that actually the financing of the regulation actually is also coming under scrutiny. That some of the regulatory to be honest, there might be some challenges in realizing some of the goals, but then the visionary still stand there, whatever the activities which we're involved in. We need to close the system tonight. We need to close the infrastructure gap which is there. We need to move in order for us to ensure that South Africans on an increasing level shall have access to this. Now, we are 3 years away from 2020. There is a lot actually still is going to be done. There's a lot which is being done by both the states and also, and I think there are aspects of the states which, for the first time, we're receiving more money for us to connect schools and connect public offices more than any other time in the past. And this is the allocation that are increasing over time. And I think when we did speak to broadband and rollout, I think we did indicate that, for instance, for all the case one funding, we have now secured all the funding actually today, even under this challenging economic condition. So the commitment of the state to the goals of 2020, the connectivity of all South Africans to broadband, I think is a commitment to set, despite actually the economic actions, which is the country is undergoing. Now, the question of are we moving with speed, quick wins. I think I tried to preface my introduction by pointing out that it has been a very, very exhaustive, all-inclusive policy process. I think we have not undertaken something like this in a long while. So most probably when some people then have got the notion that it has delayed, no, it has not delayed. I think there have been about 4 or 5 rounds of consultation within that period of time. Now everyone else has had their say. Everyone else has actually been considered in terms of what needed to be done. The processes have moved to provinces, the processes have been through dissent, commentary. It's been really very consultative, which is dictated by the constitution. Was it possible to finish a review in shorter time frame? When we went to Australia to actually go and look at a review which they had undertaken in Australia, I think one of the things which they pointed out also is that the review by its very nature is a very long process. It does not actually happen. And we need to ensure that as we go forward, we do not wait until 10 years for us to review, that the mechanisms of reviews are built into policy and are built into legislation in order to avoid a situation like that one. What we've just gone through, where then no reviews are shadow by the proper 10 years. So it was necessary for us to turn it. Has cabinet delayed? No, I think it's in the nature of this discussion that there are many point of views with respect to this matter. And there are no artificial deadlines which are set for cabinet to actually decide by a particular period of time. It depends on the issue which is in front of cabinet. And cabinet actually has considered within a very short space of time. Actually, what is in front of it has been a position to move and to consider the final points. And we are hoping that in the matter of about a month, all of this is going to be done. What has occasioned the slight delay? It related to the question of other issues, the integration of the ICTs, for instance, to economic development. So there's a discussion that was supposed to be held with the economic development, the ministry and cluster, to actually talk about how then the ICTs are going to be contributing to other targets. Which actually have been set, which are part of the medium term expenditure framework of government. It related to the question of competition in the sector, the role of the Competition Commission, which I think the members also are related to. How then was the regulation of this sector, where we characterize it as not being effective, to be enhanced? Now, what is the role then of the Competition Commission, and what would be the role of the sector regulator? Now, you will recall also that in general, that the country is moving towards a system of competition where it is not the sector regulators who are actually effectively managing the sectors, but that you manage that the competition, that there is competition or no competition. So we needed then to find the right path, the way of locking the two regulatory schemes together so that then actually they can work in tandem, and they can work actually to reinforce the channel. I think when you see the white paper coming out, there is a better relationship which has been established between the Competition Commission and the sector regulator. So those are the discussions which have been taking place, which needed to be actually done, which was outside of what I would call normally the purview of the actually then there was this next round of consultation within government, which was not done. The honourable member then talked about the private sector and whether we shouldn't be allowed the private sector just to do as they please, in my understanding. I think we're still in a regulated environment. And I think the Constitution is asking us actually to do everything in the public interest. So in as much as the public interest goals are not being met, like what we're discussing today, there is then the need for regulation. Now policy should set in place enabling mechanisms for the private sector to actually do the things which they do. And I think the role of the private sector is not being denied at all. And I think increasingly, I think we are expecting the private sector to be invested much more with respect to the extension of these networks. In as much as government and the public also will be spending more in order for it to connect its own facilities and also to roll out the systems which it has to do. And I think these two are working in tandem. We would never have a universal service or universal access for all South Africans if then the two are not working together and police actually enabling both of them trying to realize their goals. But the question of ineffective regulation calls for regulation. That is the only way it actually can be sorted out. And I think I put it down to the question of the emergence of dominant players. But this is an issue which affects all sectors. It's not just peculiar to us. That once someone has got an effective dominance, once actually someone has got a market and presence actually which is oblivious whatever others are doing, they are likely to abuse that position. I think Telkom was one which was actually had to be called before the Competition Commission in the past, and the Competition Commission passed a verdict with respect to what Telkom was doing. So that's again a question of regulation. So it does emerge, and I think it is in the nature of human beings that if they are given unfettered powers, they will actually abuse those powers and do things which are not only in the public interest, but in their own selfish interest. And I think it is within this context that we talk about regulation. Now, why do people use botnets? I wouldn't like to speculate as to why people use botnets and why botnets is more profitable than, because I think it's quite obvious why it's profitable. I think it's changing twice what the post office is charging. For every letter which passes through the post office and the letter, similar letter which passes through the network of the postman, it's obvious that the postman will get more money. Now, that's the reason for profitability. But there are other reasons too. They are not required to have an extensive network which reaches everyone else. And I think then they can cherry pick the market, decide where they want to actually locate their services, and of course, everywhere they are, the services actually are profitable. It's not like the post office. The post office is by law required to reach all South Africans. That network is not premised on their profitability, it is premised on service, public interest. They need to connect South Africans which are not connected. I think it would be not fair to compare the two. I don't think this is fair. I think the two are operating in fundamentally different ways. They are trying to meet fundamentally different needs. If you want your service, I don't think there's anything wrong with you if you're a private citizen, if you want to pay more for a better service. It's within your rights. If you've got the means actually to do it, you will actually then do it. But the issue then again comes to the regulator as to, are these prices affordable? That is the issue I think which we're trying to address here through this assembly. Are these prices affordable? And would they be affordable to all South Africans? Now that is fundamentally what the colleagues from ICASA actually then have to talk to. But I think we're mindful that ICASA does not regulate prices. And I think with that competition is the proxy. We use competition in order for us actually to drive down cross prices and to ensure that people are charged what is reasonable and what is affordable. I don't think ICASA is going now to be looking at setting up price list and sort of telling everyone else how much they should be charging for services. And I think we're far from that. area of market reviews and the determination of markets. They are very, very good with respect to that. We would like to tap into that ability so that our sector also itself can clearly define the markets and also at the same time can clearly set pro-competition regulation prior to people actually starting the operations. And the Competition Commission has been in this business for quite some time determining that and ensuring that actually that these sectors are actually effectively regulated. But they regulate post the fact. They are there actually to act like police to capture to capture the culprits. They do not actually offer like a priest advice before you do something. So we would like actually then to combine the priest and the policeman in order for us to have this effectively regulated. Now I think the priest is right. I think we hope is going to be that finding ways of working with the policeman actually to settle this crowd work which needs to be done. Are they involved in Vodacom advertising? Can they do anything in Vodacom advertising? I'll leave that to the regulator to actually that indicates where advertising is an issue and which needs to be actually acted upon. I would then ask my colleague actually to proceed with that one question.
You did ask a question related to the international rankings in respect of the ITU. We did not include it in the slide, but we do have that information with us. And we know in the last report, the 2016 report of the ITU's development index, South Africa is ranked number 88 out of the 127 countries. They look at the dimensions that are typically also measured by statistics as well, how many different subscriptions you have, mobile subscriptions, the percentage of households that have access to computers and therefore access to the internet and so on and so forth. And although when they measure this ITU development index, when they measure South Africa with other African countries, we rank number 3, the first is Mauritius, and then followed by Seychelles, South Africa is the third one. But in the overall, when they look at other countries as well, they are 888 out of those 167 countries. And really, this measurement, as I said, they mirrors the statistics that come out of the SA's own survey, that is, if you have higher educational outcome, attainment, right? So if you have better work and therefore better salary, if geographically you are more in the urban areas rather than the rural areas, or in terms of race as well, more white people, followed by Indian people, colored people, then black South Africans have got access to a range of these ICT services. It's exactly what statistics also show. But for the purpose of this presentation, the indices that we use is the latest report by the World Economic Forum, the Network Readiness Index, the 2015 and 2016 report, that shows that South Africa has actually improved by 10 notches. We moved from 76 to 65 out of the 189 countries that are surveyed. And that movement, that improvement really is in relation to, in terms of the WEF report, that there is a slight drop in mobile and data tariffs. As a result, there is better usage of ICT by businesses, there's better capacity after the usage by individuals. But the area which we need to look at is government ICT uptake and usage, and that's an area that we need to be improving upon. And we've also used in the presentation the global competitiveness report by the WEF as well, where South Africa is
to think that there's another layer of networks outside the post office which private operators hold. I think they view the fact that all private operators, in given situations, they become post office customers. It is system because nobody at the DG side can roll out services to the extreme villages and communities where people live. You can only find post office, nobody else. So mean that if a customer here in Cape Town decides to go to Postnet to post a letter in Malamulele, you go to Postnet, the letter goes to Malamulele, you pay that double price. Postnet doesn't go to Malamulele, but the letter reaches there in Malamulele. You ask yourself questions, why did my letter arrive here, but there's no post office outlets? What other outlets does, which our opponent has, they take your money, they go to Postnet and become a customer. And post the delivers to Malamulele. What is specialized in is what we call door to door. Yes, indeed, within the city, they do door to door, but post office does what we call counter to counter. That's the difference. And beyond that counter to counter and door to door is all the post office outlets which connects as communities. So I think the video aspect there to say, I think we need a robust engagement in that area of work, that at least we need to maximize the post office outlets. Though it's open to other operators, but at least the tariffs that post is charging rather than used by a customer sitting here. So I thought I should clarify that we should not think that post office didn't grow. No. Post office is the only postal operator with a highway of networks. Nobody else in the country. Including the biggest operators. We can call them here the foreign postal administration. You are GSPS and which post, you are changing the switch post. You know, all these posts are sitting here, but none of them are networks except post office. Thank you so much.
I think, DDG, the question is not about the price and the issue. The issue is around why do we see people, despite the cost, moving not to post office but to postnet? Because we do understand the differences. And if it costs 15 rands for something I could be paying, 6 rands for. Why am I going there? I think that was the issue. And if it's something that we can, we need more engagement around, more in detail in, because we know the issue of repositioning post office, the issue of rebranding post office because of its previous challenges. That has been the cause of why people would have moved away from post office. Now the issue is, what do we do to get everybody back to post office, which has affordable services, and all those things. I think that was the issue around that matter. For me, that's what was coming out here, out of the members. I'm looking at the time. There's still more things that you haven't responded. Can we wrap up from the side? We'll come to another.